Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode. We really appreciate you joining us. This podcast really shows us how we can all learn, live, and thrive off of each other. By sharing our knowledge through our conversations, we will impart some knowledge whilst learning ourselves how to progress even further. Here is your host.
Hey, hello, how are you? I'm fine. Welcome to Kure FM. My name is Samantha Borierwe and welcome to our radio station. So, if you would like to maintain anonymity, please do tell me. But if you'd like to tell me your name, what is your name? But if you don't want to say your actual name, please use a pseudonym.
Oh, my name is Mirai.
Mirai. Okay, Mirai, how long have you been living in Japan?
I've been living in Japan for the past 1 year and 4 months now. Yeah.
Okay, 1 year, 4 months. So our station is about talking to people in different situations. It doesn't have to be someone living in a foreign land. But for this particular episode, we are focusing on people who have left their actual home countries to move to other countries. Is that fine with you?
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to be asking a couple of questions, trying to find out how your experience has been living in Japan, which is quite an interesting country to live in. How did you pick Japan?
It is. It was through a friend.
Okay.
Yeah, it was through a friend. Her sister had actually gotten a job first in Japan. And then, so she applied and she got the job as well. So,
okay, so it was
close.
Okay,
I just followed suit, and yeah, that's how we all ended up in Japan.
Okay, okay, so, given what you've told me, it seems you actually have quite of like a family kind of setup or a group of people that you might call family whilst living in Japan. Is that the situation with you?
Yes, actually, yes.
Okay.
So my experience hasn't been that bad because, you know, I have people to talk to, right?
Okay, okay.
And,
so,
you know, if I feel lonely, I have people that I can visit and they can visit me and we'll spend time together.
Okay, so in your 1 year and 4 months living in Japan, have you managed to acquire the language? Or may I say, have you managed to learn the language?
No, I can't get past hello and goodbye and the normal conversation, like, oh, can you help me? Yes.
Okay. Okay. So a normal conversation is difficult for you. So how much can you say? Can you give us like a sample of what Japanese word you can say?
I can say konnichiwa, which means hi.
Well, basically everyone who talks about Japan talks about konnichiwa, but that is fine with us. We will not delve deeper into that. Given that you do not have...
Maybe, yeah, well, sumimasen, which means, okay, excuse me, or I'm sorry, because, well, I'm always sorry about something, right?
Okay, okay, so
yeah.
Given your experience that you do not have the language at, like, your mercy, how has it been making friends that are non, like... foreigners or non-Zimbabwean friends? Have you made any Japanese friends?
Well, I have, but it's mostly like my co-workers who speak English, so that's how I've been able to communicate with them. And besides my co-workers, usually would use Google Translate. Of course, you can, some, they are those that, you know, speak a little bit, you know, so you actually, it's now up to you to connect or try to make sense of what they're saying.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So, given what we know in terms of Japan, in terms of making friends, let's talk about the making friends aspect. A lot of, like, media tells us that Japan is quite a lonely country. How do you describe that in your own experience?
I wouldn't say it's I think it's a lonely place if you're not accustomed to the how they operate in the country, right?
Okay.
So it's not because the Japanese people don't want to make friends, but it's because of that communication barrier. You know, there's obviously a communication barrier when you don't speak their language and they don't speak English, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's not like they're not open to new relationships, but the fact that they know you will not be able to understand what they will be saying. So for them, they would rather not try. They would rather just shine away from making friends than try, right?
Okay.
So it's not really a lonely place.
Okay,
it's
so
just lonely because, you know, you're surrounded by people who are not willing to try.
Okay, so right? It's basically a problem of the language.
It's basically the problem of language.
Okay,
yes.
Okay,
and
so
if you, like, on their own, they're not people who are very open to each other. Like, even whether you're a Japanese person, right? Unlike where we come from or the way we were brought up, you know, I can talk to you and you're a stranger. I don't know you, but I can just start a conversation.
Yeah.
But for them, even if you're Japanese to Japanese, they are not open to just speaking to each other like that. You know, they respect it. Like they respect each other's space, you know.
Okay.
So they feel as if, oh, when you talk to me out of the blue, like from Norway, you are invading my privacy, sort of like.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So for them, it's kind of, it's more of maybe the way they were brought up, or it's more of a culture thing rather than them actually being racist or anything we might call it, right?
Okay.
So it has nothing to do with that, but it's more of their culture, the way they are brought up. You know, you don't invade someone else's privacy. Even if you want to make a conversation, even if you want to make friends, you know, there's a procedure to doing things in Japan.
Okay, so well, that's quite a very informative segment you've given us there. So let's move on to the food, which is something that is very interesting. A lot of people around the world always talk about the Japanese cuisine. What's your first take on Japanese food?
Well, they have amazing, amazing traditional dishes, I might say.
Okay.
But I am not open to, you know, just trying out new things, like, just because of the person that I am, I'm just not into trying out new things that I don't know of.
Uh-huh.
But their food, I find their food, especially their chicken dishes, very, very nice, you know?
Okay, so
Given
that you're in the land of Japan, you must have had an opportunity to try the famous sushi, because Japan is the land of sushi. How is the sushi in Japan?
I'm sorry to disappoint. I haven't actually tried.
In a year and 4 months, you haven't eaten sushi?
No, I haven't.
What is your reasoning behind that?
No, I'm just put off by the fact that, I don't know, maybe if they come up with a dish that's like called sushi and they cook the actual fish, maybe I would try. But yeah, just the fact of just eating raw fish just puts me off, honestly. Right? I don't know.
Like,
I will try, maybe I will not try. I don't know.
The idea of sushi is the fact that the fish is raw. I think I do
exactly
understand where
that's
you're coming from.
Yeah.
I do
the
understand where you're
like
coming from.
Made out of raw fish, that puts me off, honestly.
Okay, so what's the worst Japanese food you have tried, like, ever since you came to Japan?
I think that would be tofu. I don't know what the fuss is all about, honestly. I don't like it.
Okay, tofu.
I don't like it.
And what's the best food you have tried from Japan?
Ooh, I've tried their, like I said, I love their chicken. I love their karaage chicken. It's just out of this world.
Okay.
It's just out of this world. Yeah.
Okay, so given that you have been in Japan for a year and 4 months, how has it been for you navigating the dating scene?
The what?
The dating scene, relationship-wise.
Oh, relationship. Well, I do have a boyfriend, but he's not currently staying in Japan. So for me, I've never really been interested in, like, Japanese people, not because of I don't find them attractive or anything like that, but just because, well, I am committed to someone.
Okay.
But from what I hear, you know, it could go both ways. It could be nice and it could be horrible from what I've heard from people.
Okay. So how is it being in a long distance relationship with someone who's in a different country, and given the current situation we have, this COVID-19, how are you doing things? Because there is bound to be like a need to meet each other, you know, missing each other. Have you and your boyfriend like visited each other or met each other since you moved to Japan?
Okay, I'll first start by saying this. Long distance relationship is very, very difficult to just deal with, honestly, because now there's an issue of communication. Besides communication, you know, you might be talking every time on the phone, or you might be, you know, video FaceTiming each other, but the fact that, you know, you're not physically seeing each other, you know, at it can be very difficult, especially for people who don't know how to communicate. Basically, it actually makes the situation worse.
Okay.
But for me, like being here and my boyfriend being in another country, you know, we have had rough days, you know, but it's one of those things whereby you have to sit down together and just say, okay, if we really want this to work, you know, you will make it work. Right.
Okay.
And it just needs discipline. You know, you just have to be someone who's very disciplined, because in a, like you said, you know, there are a lot of dating sites everywhere else in the world, you know. So it's all about coming together and just figuring out what are we going to do about this, you know, since it's something that we can't change, you know. I'm working here, he's doing whatever he's doing there, right?
Yeah.
But it's all for trying to better ourselves so that one day, you know, we could have, you know, a stable future, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that we know it's for a greater cause, you know, we have to put in the effort. We have to put in the effort. And yes, my boyfriend did visit me once, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, if it were not for this whole corona situation, you know, we could have visited each other regularly, maybe quite often, but since borders are closed and, you know, we can't really do anything about it, and flights are very expensive anything, if we were to try to visit each other during these pandemic times, you know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's something that you just have to accept and deal with, right? Because so, there's nothing that we can do about it. Yeah,
because I do understand there's a saying that says the moment you overcome the hard phases of a relationship, you come out stronger. So I'm hoping for the best for you guys. So
thank you. The thing
we are mainly talking about, we are going to go into, is a question everyone is always asking, be it people from home or just regular people: how is the job market in Japan? Japan is popular for being a very work-oriented economy. How is it for you working in Japan, coming from a kind of relaxed working environment?
Well, I must say, Japanese people are hard workers. Like, they really put in the effort and the time into their jobs. You know, for them, it's not just about their livelihood or anything like that. It's not about money, but for them, it's just, you know, the culture that has been installed in them, right? That they should work, you know, for the betterment of their economy. So I think they do a very good job in terms of, you know, their work ethics.
Okay.
And and their people, in terms of service wise, honestly, I think their service, they are just the best. The people are very respectful. Unlike other countries whereby, you know, for them, money, well, they say, well, customer is the king, but literally in Japan, they mean it, right?
Yeah.
Like, literally, they mean it, you know? So they will go out of their own, even take up their own time to assist you.
Okay.
Until, you know, you are fully, like, satisfied with their service.
Yeah.
And for me, working in Japan has been amazing. It has been, of course, obviously, it has its own downside because of communication and whatnot, you know, not understanding co-workers, not understanding, you know, the people that you're trying to assist, you know, not understanding customers and everything like that. But it has been quite an experience, I must say.
Okay. So Being someone from a particular African country, what was the biggest like culture shock for you coming to Japan?
Okay. Well, for me, all right. Okay, being brought up in Africa,
Okay.
You know, we have this community thing installed in us. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Everyone that you know, even anyone from the next door can be your mom, can be your dad, and everything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me in Japan, there's no community where you can say, okay, right, these people are a community. There's nothing like that, you know. For me, I think one of the major highlights I can actually mention was the other day I was coming from work, you know, I was really tired, and now, because like I mentioned, people here are workaholics.
Mm-hmm.
So usually even 10 p.m. 11 p.m. people could still be, you know, going home from work.
Yeah.
You know, that's how much they stay up late working.
Okay.
And there was an elderly woman, like, I think maybe around 8 years, you know? And you find, so there were no seats left in the train, and she was actually standing, right? And everyone else was sitting down.
Yeah.
You know, you find they don't even have that sympathy for their elderly to say, oh, okay, you know what? You may come and sit here, because honestly, she was literally struggling to stand up, and you know, with the movement of the train, she was, you know, rocking with it, you know, being tossed that way. For them, it's just like, oh, okay, so what? She didn't find a seat. That's it. And for me, and this has happened like so many times than once, and I just came to the realization, like, okay, this is them, you know? Even when you're in a situation, in my country, even if you don't know each other, let's say it's raining and you're getting rained on, and I happen to have a big umbrella,
mm-hmm.
you know, I could ask you, are you going my way? Maybe we can share the umbrella,
yeah.
right? But here, no, there's nothing like that. Even if I'm not saying, okay, help a foreigner, because obviously, like I said, they're not very welcoming to foreigners, right?
Okay.
In that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's another Japanese, you know, they can see, oh, this person is getting rained on.
Yeah.
They have a big umbrella. They don't bother to ask, oh, do you want to share? Like, for them, I don't know. Like, that's just a big culture shock for me,
okay,
right?
So it's basically the lack of a community kind of setup.
No, there's no community kind of setup like the ones that we are used to or accustomed to. No.
Okay, so given that right now we are in a very kind of revolutionary kind of time, there is the Black Lives Matter movement and everything else going on, you being a Black woman, particularly from Africa, how has the whole racial like landform has been for you living in Japan? Because we do know that Japan is a very highly homogeneous society. There are a lot of Japanese people more than foreigners. How has that been for you navigating the whole racial part? Okay, my first question to you would be, how is the racial situation in your home country?
In my home country, there's nothing like that. We don't even have. Well, coming from my country, you know, it's actually a term we know exists in other countries. Of course, it might be happening, but it's on a low level that people don't know about.
Okay,
coming from my home country, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're from whatever race you're coming from, we are open to foreigners, and we are open to other religions, and we're open to other races.
Okay, so you're from a very calm kind of country in terms of racism and all the issues that come with it, correct?
Yes.
So now coming into Japan, which is a country that doesn't have people who look like you in a big number, and the whole Black Lives Matter situation, how has your experience been moving into a situation where there is some sort of racism or some kind of racial tension?
Okay. During the first month that I moved here, I would have people stare at me like quite a lot. Like really, literally, they would, you know, you would get into the train and everyone's just looking at you, like, you know. And for me, I didn't understand. Like, is it because they are not really familiar to seeing people that look like me? And of course, in other, like in other parts of the country, literally them staring at you, it's not because, you know, oh, they're just ignorant or anything like that. Literally, some parts of Japan, they might have never seen a black woman before. Okay. Like literally, they're staring at you because now they're thinking, you know, not because of race or anything like that. Like, honestly, they're just puzzled to see a black person.
Okay.
You know?
So, yeah. With your job, I understand you are, you work with children, correct?
Yes.
How is the experience teaching children, and what age groups have, like, what's the reaction to you for across the age divide in the Japanese children?
Well, okay, so I work with kids from as little as 2 years to teenagers as old as like 18 years, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I think the older kids are quite, well, they are more welcoming, or they're keen, they're more open to learning other new things, right?
Okay.
And for kids who are like very young, honestly, at first they would cry, like really cry their eyes out, like literally they're scared, right?
Yeah.
And with time, they get used to you.
Yeah.
You know, you can actually have, you know, it's so funny, you can actually have a situation whereby, you know, a kid sees you for the first time, they know, oh my God, this person, like honestly, and they start crying.
Yeah.
Right? Not because of me, just my nature, you know, very wanting to comfort kids and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, in as much as I know you're scared of me, but I'll try to talk to you, I'll try to make you feel comfortable, right?
Yeah.
And I'll go to these kids and just wanting to pick them up. Funny enough, they cry and I'm holding them, they're crying.
Yeah.
The minute you actually want to put them down, they're crying even more, like, don't leave me. But
yeah,
I'm like, you're scared of me and yet you want me to hold you. You're even crying more the minute I want to leave you down, like place you somewhere, or I just want you to play by yourself, you know? So it's like they're scared of me, but they want me around, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it has nothing to do with, for them, it's, oh, I'm seeing you for the first time, right?
Yeah.
But I know you're human like me because you have your fingers, you have eyes, you have a mouth, you know, you have hair, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And the more they are used to you, the more they're like, oh, we know her, you know? So it's fine, right?
Yeah.
So for them, it has been, I have quite had some bad experiences where I'm like, okay, this kid just doesn't want to keep quiet, because obviously for some reasons I might have actually scared this kid to death, right?
Okay.
Literally. Almost literally, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, so there are situations whereby, you know, the kid's like, okay, so they want to touch you, and every time they touch you, they want to look at their fingers and see if, you know, your melanin has rubbed off on theirs, you know. And then the minute they see, oh, there's nothing, they're like, okay, so literally, okay, I think I can touch this one and, you know, her brownness will not rub off on me, right?
Okay, so I think
and they're kids, right?
Yeah, so I think it's the thing of being kids that I think that's one takeaway you can,
it's actually, yeah,
you probably won't feel the impact. But how has, what is your overall kind of experience been? Do you think Japan is racially tense, or it's just maybe a situation of them not knowing or having not experienced someone who is black, like in real life?
I think for them, for Japanese people, it's not about racism or anything. It's just a case of them being not aware of other races. And mind you, you know, it's only now that Japan started welcoming foreigners, especially in terms of education fields or education sectors, right?
Okay.
So because of that, it's not more, it's actually more of them not being aware, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they have this perception of, oh, we don't want to engage in foreigners, not because we are racist, we don't like your color, or we don't like your religious, or we don't like where you're coming from. It's them not understanding, you know, not actually understanding where you're coming from.
Because okay.
Some, they look at me and the minute they hear me speak English, you know,
yeah,
they think, oh, yeah, okay. So they just kind of assume I'm from America.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what makes you think anyone who speaks English is from Europe, right?
Yeah.
Because that's their first perception.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you know, no, she has, maybe she's from Europe, or maybe she's from, I don't know where she's from, right?
Yeah.
But so every time you're like, oh, where are you from? And you're like, Africa. The look on their face is like, Africa?
They're dumbfounded.
No? Exactly. So for them, it's actually not knowing. It's more of, I don't know if I should say ignorance. It's not ignorance. I can't even say ignorance. I don't know what it is, but it's more of not knowing, actually. Not open to other things, you know.
Okay.
Not open to learning new things, right?
Okay.
So every time you're like, oh no, I'm from Africa, they are like, oh, Africa, we didn't know Africa speaks you know, Africa speaks English,
oh,
you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, no, of course we do have our own indigenized language, right?
Yeah.
But then, yeah, we do speak English, right?
Yeah, we do. So
you know, the assumption that every time you speak English, you have to be from
a non-African
America
country.
Or yes. You're from, you know, the United Kingdom, or you're somewhere from, you know, that other side of the world, not the other side pointing to Africa, you know. So
yeah
I get that a lot.
Okay, so wow, you've had quite an experience, I must say.
Yeah.
But what if you were to, I would give you like two questions. What is one mm-hmm. thing you wouldn't change about Japan, and what is one thing you wish you could change about Japan?
What is what?
One thing I wouldn't change
yes. about Japan.
Yes, correct.
I'd say, okay, so I wouldn't change the safety levels of Japan.
Wow.
Like, for me, it's, you know, it's just the safest country. Now, of course, you know, there are crimes that happen that we might not know about.
Yeah.
But like I said, if every time I walk in the streets, or every time I'm coming from work, like I didn't mention, you know, sometimes I clock out very late, and sometimes it's 11 o'clock, I'm going home.
Yeah.
You know, but there's never a time where I really thought, oh, my life is in danger, or someone is following me, or anything like that. You know, it's actually
wow, okay.
a very safe country.
So, I will hold you there. How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how safe is Japan, according to you?
All right. Okay, not taking into account the crimes that are happening that I'm not aware about,
mm-hmm.
right? I'll give it a good 7.5, maybe 8 out of 10.
An 8 out of 10. Wow, that is very safe.
It's a safe country.
Yeah.
It's a safe country to stay in,
yeah.
right? Yeah. And then one thing I would change about Japan, I think I'll change, you know, as a country that's opening up to other nationalities and everything, they
yeah.
need to put in the effort of trying to learn a universal language.
Okay.
I'm not saying we should or I'm trying to impose this on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But since it's a decision that they made as a country or as a nation to say, okay, we need to employ foreigners, you know, at least they need to start learning. And I do applaud their efforts in learning, because now they've introduced English in schools and whatnot.
Yeah.
So for that's actually one step towards them, you know, actually learning a universal language, because it's so quite difficult to communicate with anyone who doesn't speak English in Japan. Like, so even imagine you are sick and you are afraid to go to the hospital because you are afraid of
the language barrier.
Like they will diagnose the wrong by disease or something. You know? Maybe you have a toothache and then you go, but you can't understand each other, and they end up saying, "Oh, maybe you're sick from this stuff, not the one that you actually sick from."
Yeah. So, okay. Okay.
It's affecting a whole, like so many sectors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like so many sectors, and you know, like last year I believe, yes, last year they were supposed to have held the Olympics, right? And yeah, imagine that's... if so many people had came, of course they would have people who speak English and whatnot, but it shouldn't be something that happens when they have such a big event like the Olympics.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
It just should be something that at least they know roughly, not, I'm not saying, oh, learn English like your first language, right?
Yeah.
But at least since it's a country that's welcoming foreigners, you know, it should try to make efforts in
English,
educating people. And like I said, I think it's actually the older generations who are like kind of stubborn or ignorant. But what I do like is the younger generations, they're, you know, slowly opening up to the idea of learning English. That's why you find there are so many English institutions in Japan, like so many. I think it's not only Japan, but even in like the whole of Asia, because it's, they're starting to want to improve and start to learn a universal language. So I think that's one thing I would change about Japan.
Okay, wow. So thank you so much for visiting us on Kure FM. It has been wonderful having you here, Mirai. We wish you the very best in your journey living in Japan, and hopefully we'll call you for maybe an episode next time where you give us an update on what has been happening in your life and everything.
Sure, I'd love to update you on any changes that might have happened.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. Right. Keep on listening to your favorite podcast, Kure FM. My name is Samantha, and that was Mirai calling in from Japan. See you in our next episode. Good night.
This week's episode has come to an end, but the fun doesn't have to stop here. If you have any questions, suggestions, or feedback, head over right now to Twitter and Facebook and like, share, and get involved. Join us next time.